Welcome back to Mental Health Integration Week 8, Part 2, Post-Traumatic Growth. I'm glad to be with you. Now, this week we're going to be talking about post-traumatic growth, and I want to define post-traumatic growth for you. Now, everybody knows about PTSD, about how we can have negative symptoms because of a traumatic event. But there is also an opportunity after trauma that doesn't always happen, where someone can grow because of what they've gone through. There's actually a fair amount of research on this. It's starting to become a really cool research area. And so I'm excited to see what continues to come out and develop as people develop better ways of looking at this and the science just continues to develop. Now, how this is normally researched, scientists will look at groups of people who've been through incredibly traumatic events, whether that was battlefield soldiers or whether that was victims of sexual violence, and they will look for how they are changing. They will look for evidence of growth or evidence of that trauma doing damage. And what they have found is that not everybody experiences post-traumatic growth. It's not a case where everybody goes through that, but it is a case where when someone does go through it, there is actually a process that is fairly straightforward. Today we're going to be talking about that process. We're talking about what it takes to actually grow through something traumatic and why that can be beneficial. Being that mental illnesses can be kind of a traumatic thing, it seems that you would want to grow through it, especially when that's been the focus of the last several sessions. So, post-traumatic growth happens, depending on the statistics you're reading, in 30 to 70% of cases or in 40 to 75% of cases. We could have been safe and just said in 30 to 75% of cases, but generally the research is citing one of those two numbers. And the way that post-traumatic growth works is right here. And this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time. Post-traumatic growth happens when, one, we have a traumatic affecting event. That's something that breaks us down. Whether that is a combat situation, whether that is sexual violence, whether that is a mental illness, whether that is someone having a suicide attempt, whatever it is, that creates a space where we need to do some serious work. Coming out of that, we form core beliefs. And those core beliefs form an emotional security. Now, what happens is our assumptive world is now being questioned by this traumatic event, right? We had our core beliefs, and they're somehow being shaken. They're somehow being upset. And that is, this trauma is now affecting our ability to relate to ourselves and our relate to understand what's going on with us. Our emotional security is threatened because suddenly we're not what we thought we were. And now we have to start working through this incongruence between our core beliefs and between what we feel. And you can see next we go to intrusive memories and images over dysregulated emotions. Now we're in this spot where all of a sudden we're having all of these things flood our brains because these intrusive memories are upsetting what we know. And we're having these dysregulated emotions. We can't figure out what's going on. We're being upset. And in that place, we need emotional regulation. In order for this work to happen, we have to follow all of these steps through the process. We have to go through our core beliefs being shaken. We have to go through these dysregulated emotions. And we have to go through some sense of emotional regulation. And the reason we have to go through that is because if we don't have emotional regulation, our body can't stabilize enough to actually do the work that will make this growth happen. It has to have some semblance of stability. When it finds that semblance of stability, it can make change. But what do we need for that sense of stability? Well, that's where we need things like social support. We need occupational support. We need attentive companionship. All of these things happen together. And when they happen, they give our body that calm. So that we can continue to grow and develop. If we don't have that calm, it's too chaotic. We can't grow through what's happening. In education and in other places, they talk about a stress tolerance window, that there is a specific window. And within that window, we have an opportunity for change. But if we exceed the window, if our stress is way up here, it exceeds our ability to change, and because of that, it just overwhelms our system. In a place called like trauma, that's what's happening. The stress is way up here. It's upsetting what's going on. So we need this emotional regulation to bring it back within the stress tolerance window so that we can grow and develop. And as our stress tolerance window, as we grow and develop, it begins to grow with us. Okay? So to go back to this, this emotional regulation, it takes people sometimes. It takes things around us. It takes people who know what they're doing. And then in that place, we can begin to work on a cycle between emotional regulation and sense making. Now, sense making is where we literally rewrite our own narrative of what happened. We need to figure out what this traumatic event was, how it affected us, what went on, how it's going to affect us moving forward, what actually happened. And as we begin to weave those pieces together, as it begins to make sense in our own mind, our mind begins to take power over the situation. Instead of the situation dictating us, we're learning and growing into the situation, and we're able to exercise some sense of power and authority over it. Now, this isn't one shot, right? When you look at this graph, you see this emotion regulation and the sense making, they're cycling together. And this is this chart is from the academic article that was in your homework for this week. So they're going back and forth, and they're cycling back and forth over the top of each other. And in that, as we get sense-making, the more we have that sense-making happen, the more we have opportunities for post-traumatic growth. That emotional regulation allows the sense-making. The sense-making is actually the thing that needs to happen. And as sense-making happens, post-traumatic growth happens, well-being happens, and positive psychological changes happen. Then we see as it pushes forward into career proactivity, positive work identity, pro-social leadership. These are all from traumatic events that happen at work, but they all push post-traumatic growth into any area of your life, because this is the exercise and development of power in your personal life over something that just grows and grows. So, post-traumatic growth, the key to outcomes is sense-making or meaning-making. If we can do sense-making and meaning-making, that makes it all possible. And I want to tell you a story about a dandelion. You know my story about mental health. I've already told it to you. But when I was in college, I did this. Dandelion is that way. Okay. I had to write a story of my life for a class, and I had to make a comparison of myself to something else. And people wrote about all of these things, and I wrote about a dandelion. My entire life, I had never actually been the best at anything. I came second first. I came second a lot. I came first almost never. It was fitting that when I played baseball, my number was 2. And 2 continues to be one of my favorite numbers. But that was because that was the case always. I did Kung Fu, and I was 2nd. When I got to be the best in my class, I was immediately moved to a different class. So I wasn't the best there either. When I played baseball, I was good until pressure came. I was never even second best. When I was a drummer in school, I was never the best drummer at my school. I was always the second best, regardless of what was going on. Every year I was the second best. So I was never the fastest. I was never the best. I was never anything. But I had an uncanny knack for coming back. So I described myself as a dandelion, because growing up, if you wanted to kill a dandelion, you could poison it, you could do whatever you wanted to it, but somehow, at that point in time, they always came back. And that was me. I wasn't the best, I wasn't the bravest, I wasn't the strongest, but I kept coming back. I was resilient. The thing that life couldn't do was kill me, because I kept coming back. And just when someone thought they had stomped me out, it turned that it wasn't true, and I was coming back again. That is meaning making. That is me making meaning of my failures and of my previous life and saying, wait, something about me is not like everybody else, because people get knocked down and they don't get up, but I get knocked down and I do get up. And I'm not the biggest, strongest, I don't throw the biggest punch, I don't knock other people down. Instead, I just keep getting up. This is something that I'm phenomenal at. And it gave me strength and courage. This is post-traumatic growth. I went through something hard, and it showed me that I was strong. Not because I could do something more, but like because I could get up from something again and again. We see this, and how it shares, like how this knowledge grows, as Paul shares in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort." The thing about post-traumatic growth is it's not just post-traumatic growth for you, it's post-traumatic growth you get to share. Okay? When Paul walks through all of these hard things, all of these things that he suffers, he says, it is for your benefit that we have suffered these things, because our sufferings will produce your comfort. As we have seen God comfort us, we'll see God comfort you. Because you know that you're not alone. Because you know that God can do it. Because that you know that even in the midst of all of these incredibly hard things, God shows up and does really cool stuff. So in the middle of that, when Paul is saying, our sufferings will make you better, you can see this chart again that I showed you and see how this emotional regulation and this meaning making, they actually push post-traumatic growth for everyone involved. Because we suffer and we experience dysregulation, we make meaning, we grow out of it. And then that growth is contagious. Switch foot, because I really like them, says it like this. "Because your scars shine like dark stars. Yeah, your wounds are where the light shines through." So let's go there to the place where we sing these broken prayers, where the light shines through. The wound is where the light shines through. Your wound is where the light shines through. When we started My Quiet Cave, we had this grand idea. And the idea was actually this. That people who are going through a mental health crisis, they don't just need someone who is also going through a mental health crisis. There were a lot of support groups that already existed that were doing that. You could hang out in a room with other people going through depression or bipolar disorder in all sorts of places in the city. But what you often couldn't find is somebody who had been through a mental health issue who could help you walk through a mental health issue. And we thought that might be worth something. The reason we thought that was because Steve, who helped me start My Quiet Cave, was actually diagnosed with bipolar disorder 3 months before starting seminary. And it was my opportunity as his friend to help him walk through and make meaning during his time in school, using my own experience and my own meaning making that I had done, my own story of being a dandelion. And in that, what we found was that we had these open wounds, but they didn't stay open wounds. They healed up and they became scars. And what we decided was that people needed to find people with scars. They didn't need people with wounds, they needed people with scars. So we tried to create that space. When we did, we found that people with wounds flocked to people with scars because they knew the way through. They didn't just know that there was a way, they knew the way through, and they could walk it with them. And that's what this quote from Switchfoot said. I'm going to pull it up again. Because your scars shine like dark stars. They are the place where the glory of God is found, because we discover what it is to be healed. And that healing is contagious. So, that's a week on post-traumatic growth. It's really upsetting. It's not a whole lot fun to go through. But that dysregulation leads to fantastic things. And those fantastic things are contagious and change people's lives when they go through them. As we move forward, we'll be talking about limits and how those affect what's going on with us.